What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the A Show with the Kings Pro Wrestling Podcast. I'm Justin, here with Meals. What's going on, Meals?
Hey, man. Orange and blue skies, baby. That's all I gotta say.
Oh man, what a win last night, huh?
What a melee. That never happens to us.
Yeah, that is crazy. I said, wow, like these guys are really getting it done. Well, what's your ceiling? I know you always have a, you know, every
Eastern Conference Finals, and then it ends there. It for sure ends there.
Okay. You're realistic.
Yeah, I'm 30% sure. I'm like 40% sure it'll end next round. It could end next round, depending on who we face. But I'm definitely sure we're not getting past the Eastern. It'll be wild if we did. Right. But I'm almost sure we're not getting past the Eastern Conference Finals unless someone from the Celtics gets injured. But hey, we're here, man. Listen, it's a great day. I feel good. I would, you know, Knicks are making me feel better about being unemployed. So it's a great day. It's a great day. I got three stuff for you. Three things.
Three questions. Yeah, okay.
Off top. Mm-hmm. First question is, what is TikTok trying to sell you currently?
Everything. El Pollo Loco. TikTok shop stuff. Is the TikTok shop really like that new hotness?
It is. My niece has been using it, actually. She bought quite a bit of stuff from TikTok shop. I'm not actually sure where it is because it takes so long to come. But she bought that. I think she bought hair. I think she bought mad things. She bought quite a bit from TikTok shop. So it's definitely like the new hotness, to be honest with you. Like, they've been trying to sell me like weight loss shirts. Like the shirts that are, the shirts that have the sauna shirts. No, the sauna t-shirts. So it's these workout shirts that have this like material on it. It's been insulated with to help you sweat more and blah, blah, blah. So I've been getting that. I've been getting dude wipes. I blame WWE for that. Mad shit, bro. But apparently TikTok shop is, yeah. You might have to start. Next set of t-shirts might be on TikTok shop, to be real with you.
It could be, and here's the thing. I've seen people say that they're not only getting that, they're getting like political ads. I haven't gotten any political ads, and now that I've said it, I'm probably gonna, my phone hears me, it's probably gonna have me.
Mine is right here.
But it really is, like, I'm not gonna lie, it's giving Congress and you know, the Senate and all that stuff, like, you know, they just passed that bill saying that mm-hmm. you know, they got to sell it or it's going to be banned. Like, they're giving them more ammo because this is just crazy algorithm finagling.
It is. It really is. Like, the algorithm is so, I don't know. We're in a weird fucking technology time, but them trying to get rid of TikTok is like trying to silence the youth them. And I'm not for it. I'm not for it at all.
Yeah, I am. When I'm on, it's like they're selling me like a bunch of like house stuff, but like from like vendors that are primarily on TikTok. Like, that is the thing. So that's what I've been saying.
Hey, man, I might try some out. I might get some from TikTok shop.
What?
I don't know, but the shit, it's got, this is like the weirdest. It's like the weirdest thrift store.
Yeah, like, that you've. They're not selling me nothing like feasible or plausible. I think that is the issue with the is that I'm getting nothing.
You want a Walkman?
Yeah, like rugs. I got rugs the other day, but mostly it's been like food stuff. Like,
you want a Naruto fucking Naruto, what's the shit that we put on our heads? Not durag.
The little bandana
bonnet thing? Bonnet. You want a Naruto bonnet?
No. Hey, shout out to Hypeland, man. A brand that I never really like gave a lot of respect to, right?
I feel you.
they dropped two really cool capsules.
Collabs. Yeah.
That I've perused in. And I'm really kind of like trying to get off of graphic tees lately. But the Gundam shit was hard. I got mine the other day. Just got sent to me the other day. And the Street Fighter collab is actually really good. I haven't been able to peruse that right now because I'm between addresses. So I'm gonna cop that.
I got the Blanca shirt.
That's hard.
And I've been trying to stay away from graphic tees. Like, I'm like, bro, I can't. I'm getting really up there. But no, it's pretty good. Like, it's a good collaboration. It's a good, just a capsule collection and stuff. Their stuff has been way better than it was before.
High Blend to me are heavy. The tees are actually really good. The Gundam tees that I got were actually, like, I wore
mine. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All their tees are heavy. Yeah, all their tees are heavy. But before, it used to be, like, just
thin.
Yeah, no, it just used to be, like, whatever commercial use-free character on a t-shert with the High Blend logo over it. And I'm like, people buying this bullshit?
Yeah.
But now it's a little bit more involved. It looks like they got someone, you know, it looks like they're a little bit more involved with the stuff they do. Like, they actually want to be recognized for being, like, an actual solid brand instead of just, like, an anime brand. But it's going really, really well. All right, so second question I got for you.
Okay.
Have you ever listened to a Taylor Swift album?
No.
Let me just cut it off. How is it possible? 2.3 million in the first week, and we've never... I don't think I've actually sat through a Taylor Swift album, but probably the most songs I've ever heard from a Taylor Swift album was probably from her Red album, which released at same time as Kendrick Lamar. It was like Kendrick and Taylor, you know, blah, blah, which is now mad relevant. But yeah, listen, man, this is just the thing. It's like a thing that I feel like Black people don't understand, but we understand she's like moving units.
I get it. I mean, you know, whenever Black people are seemingly on the up and up, they just try and drag us back down again.
They bring out a Taylor Swift album. Yeah.
Whenever we up, then they want to bring us down again, bro. That's really just what it is, man.
That's really Amen. She wants to exist in the 1830s, except without the racism. I was like, this is the stuff that I was like, this is the song, the album of the year four times in a row. Beat Michael Jackson and Beyonce multiple times.
You always got to have that one kind of like artist too, because they got to reclaim this shit somehow.
Yo, even Leanne Rimes. Do you remember Leanne Rimes?
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like she had as much of a grip as like Taylor. Like, Taylor Swift is just.
Cool. But I think it's because of the lack of, like, we don't really have a lot of artists, bro. You know what I mean? Mm.
Like, that's very true.
We don't have a lot of artists no more, bro. Like,
it's like SZA, Beyonce.
Yeah, like, what? Taylor. Where's our Whitney Houston at, bro?
It's SZA.
No, shut the hell up. Please, almost stop this fucking
fucking listen, singing isn't applauded anymore. That's what will never be another Whitney Houston. The actual art of like knowing how to sing is not applauded anymore at all. Like, and that's why most artists can get away with it. It's like that new Camila Cabello single. I love, right. I actually do like the song. I would love it if she wasn't singing the song because it just feels so try hard.
I was doing the dance. Oh,
like, she's not a dancer. She's not an it girl. Like, what is she doing? And then Cardi's verse is just, I want to see the closed caption for that.
Yeah, I mean, that Lana Del Rey knew it at Coachella. I saw a clip of that the other day. I haven't watched it. At all.
Tyler's set.
It's good.
Amazing. Yeah. I didn't watch the first week set, but the second week set was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then I've heard great things about the Doja Cat set that I haven't watched. I've only seen the clips on TikTok, which just showed me her performing the song called Wet Pussy. So
what a controversial song title.
I she put out the little deluxe thing to her album. I was like, you know what, I'm feeling these. I actually listened to it and I was like, wow, these it's pretty good.
Yeah,
like she's, you know, I didn't even listen to low-key, I haven't listened to the original album, but I was like, seven songs of her rapping, I could do this.
But did her latest album get like a lot of burn like the last one did though? Like, I feel like
no
on it.
Nah, this is, I mean, it got a number one single. That will not be played.
What
in
does
like
that mean anymore? What does that mean? Nothing.
If it's more than 1 week, I get it. If it's also not the week that your album comes out, I also get it. But yeah, I shit. Yeah.
I don't know. What's the third question? What's the third question?
Do you think one day we'll get to the point where we can use AI to get an actual WWE guest on the podcast?
I don't know. We've been getting hated on lately. I'm kind of weirded out about that too.
Here's how I feel about the situation. Mm-hmm. And I love my partner at WWE.
I love saying our partners at the WWE.
Our partners. So we don't do the press junket thing. Nor do they give them really guests anyway. Yeah. WWE press is literally they respect, like, if they're giving you at this point now, they're like, yo, we're not giving press to, not like press to anybody, but like interviews and stuff like that. They're not giving that to anybody, but they'll invite a bunch of publications out if they're doing pay-per-views. And now they only do it in the States about 5 times a year.
Yeah.
You
got to become like a travel journalist.
Essentially. Yeah. So we don't really do that. I guess we could, but yeah, we don't really do that. We really just want the guests to have a great conversation on the show. I think and I've been rethinking. I'm like, man, I really want to have like a great guest on the show, to have a good conversation with. But yeah, but who knows? We might be able to use AI. Just get Roman on it, you know?
Roman will, I mean, if you're not Conan O'Brien, he's not showing up. So.
I think we got Bianca Belair right before the cutoff of like, all right, she's not doing this shit no more.
Yeah, it was right before SummerSlam 22. That was when it kind of turned up for her. As much as people want to deny that turned her up, it was right then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think we got it right at the cutoff. And
positive thinking. We'll be positive. I don't think we'll need AI.
No.
I think we'll be fine.
But, you know, at this point, it's definitely considered. If Drake's using AI, fucking. If Drake's using voice shits, I mean, might as well get in on the.
It's voice modulator. We could probably get a voice modulator. It's just that but you know what? A+ is our human voice modulator. He knows.
This is true. This is true.
We have that already.
I know, right?
A+.
Shout out to A+, man. Who's gonna WWE shows this weekend? They're gonna be in this part of the town, so he's if he goes, you can be a draft correspondent.
Payola plus. Just saying.
All right. You should probably get into stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about this week. I guess should we just go to bummer news or
let's go to bummer news. Let's start off. Yeah, let's start off the
so news. WWE,
that's definitely a bummer.
WWE had releases over the past and they've been staggered. What do you think the strategy is behind that?
Not to, that's actually a good fucking, it's been, no one really, I would hate if I was really staggered, but it has happened. Yeah. I'm not really sure. I feel like they're not fully sure of like who they all want to release. You know?
Yeah, it seems that it is in a way where in the past, these releases have always seemed very haphazard and confusing.
Oh, also, they have they fired the guy who's negotiating all these things.
Yeah.
Most recently, so that could also be part of an issue of like this kind of like transitioning and kind of like figuring out and like kind of like maybe someone new in this position is really just trying to figure out this all at the same time. That's why I'm just using my brain.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I think that, like, I think that in the past, like I said, like, these have been really confusing, right? Like, these have been like, why them? Why now? Sometimes they would be releasing people that were that we just saw on TV the night before, right? These releases have honestly seemed like it's just people that they didn't have anything for in general, and in that sense had not been on TV as well. So we're gonna go down the list, and like, be clear, like, draft is coming up. There's probably gonna be a bunch of call ups. We're gonna talk about the draft, and you know, a lot of detail in a couple of minutes here. But first up, we had Jinder Mahal, who was kind of like the first of the salvo of them during Friday, during SmackDown, when this was happening. Jinder Mahal says he quit. Do you believe this?
No, but it felt like, you know, fuck these guys. That's what it felt like. It felt like when I'm let go, I'm like, I don't even, fuck these guys. Because, I mean, I don't know. That's what it felt like. What he'll say in person, I feel like he's a very strong, smart guy who might say the right things. But if I were him, I would be upset. But also, I'm me. And I've watched Jinder Mahal. So I'm kind of, I don't know. It's a weird, what have you, this is Jinder Mahal's second run in WWE. Clearly better than the first, but never, even when he was rehired in, like, God, it had to be 2014, 2015.
He was there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. One, his working style felt like the industry passed him by so fucking long ago. He's not a dynamic worker, like, at all. Like, not even a little bit.
I think at best, really, like, really seemed like he was someone that was really close to a lot of guys there. Like yeah. Really good personality. It seemed like a nice guy. I think that ultimately, like, I mean, just this year, you had people that were ready to fucking riot that he was getting a World Heavyweight Championship shot earlier this
year. Yeah,
like people were very upset about that. But again, it did make moves. They were able to kind of maximize on whatever limitedness that you said that he had. They were able to capitalize that into something that got them ratings at one point, right?
Right, right.
The only issue is you can't keep doing that. You know what I mean? Like he you would have ultimately had to have done something with him, and I don't think they had anything to do or anything for him to do, or the other two people that he was connected to, which were Veer and Sangha, who were on NXT for a while, or at least Sangha was. And I like Sangha on NXT. I thought he was a really cool character. Then they wiped that all away, and then he just came up as Indashir. And, you know, I thought Sangha and Veer having that, like, you know, Sangha's trying to be peaceful and Veer is like, no, you got to be a savage. I really liked that storyline. I thought there was something there. And I think of the two, I thought Sangha was, like, really, really dope. But they just had nothing for them. And I know that I think all three, or Veer and Sangha, both said, like, WWE has a fear of pushing Indian talent, and, you know, they don't know how to push Indian talent. They're reluctant to do so. I
go ahead.
I'm like, okay, let me just be clear. Okay. Let me just be clear.
Right.
This is not indicative of, like, their talents. I just think that there are, like, if they were to find the Indian Asuka, or the Indian Kairi Sane, or the Indian Braun Breaker, he would be still there today. Right. I don't think that those three guys were exactly that, and I don't think that it boils down to that. Like, I don't think that they were missing something with these three guys.
No, I don't think so either. I can see it from their vantage point of, like, when you look for that, when you look for, what am I going to say? What we look for, representation with kind of Indian WWE superstars, you never really see it there. And to be honest, Jinder Mahal, for all rights and purposes, other than the great Khali, is the most successful Indian superstar that's ever been in WWE, by far, bar none. Been there longer, competed longer, bigger matches, main events, all this other stuff like that. I agree with you from the standpoint of, like, the talent never seemed to match up, but I also felt like the creative was also kind of weird. I feel like Veer was definitely, like, a Vince McMahon kind of project before he got kind of whisk away, and then Veer kind of never returned from that. But I also felt like, I don't know, part of me, I didn't like gender. Gender is like not a factor for me. Just, I didn't like how gender was presented. I didn't like how gender talks. I don't like how gender wrestles. I don't like how gender anything. Shout out to him for becoming WWE champion. I love the representation, what that means for Indian, you know, people. But ultimately, to me, he was not good. Veer, the running thing online was like sexy Veer. Whereas, like, this guy's actually handsome. This guy's actually, like, cool. He actually dresses well. And you guys have him kind of dressed as, like, y'all want him to be essentially, like, the Wild Samoans, but Indian. And I was like, what's the hard thing about just making him a regular person who just happens to be Indian? Like, making him a regular wrestler who just happens to be Indian. Either way, none of their talent really flew off the page, so... I get it.
I mean, again, I can't say that, like, they were already not on TV. And again, like, it seems like that's been the theme of these releases is that these are talent that they, it's just clear to the audience and to them that, like, they just, there was nothing for them, right?
Yeah, there was nothing for them.
And after this,
if they want to find something for you, they will. But they was just like,
I mean, you want to talk about not having anything for someone. Zion Quinn got called up almost 2 years ago to a free agent. The remember the free agent tag?
Yeah. No, that was last year.
It was last year. Oh my God. That seemed longer than what it was. This is when Triple H first took over. Right. With his first draft, or kind of his first draft. I guess Vince was still there. But you know, they had free agent tags where people were allowed to bounce shows because they were free agents. We saw a couple of those free agents. We never saw Zion Quinn except for a month ago when he was squashed in 3 seconds by Bron Breakker. What were your thoughts on Zion Quinn from NXT to now?
Great look. Like a great Netflix henchman villain look. Here's my thing with Zion Quinn. I think given the... We're going to talk about someone else on this list. I don't know. It had to be something else because they didn't give him no opportunities for last year. Like none. Like none at all. And I thought that's weird. Like an opportunity to kind of like show yourself, especially if you're still someone relatively new and someone still relatively new to the company who just came out of the developmental system and you saw enough in him to say like we should draft him to Raw. I think he could have at least been given a chance. That's what I would have said. Granted, he's not great. I feel like the opportunities creatively with stuff they've done in NXT for a long, 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 long time, I feel like he could have gotten an opportunity for to do more stuff there. Am I bugging?
Yes, because he was never really that good in ring. I mean, it was like, what? He was never good in ring. Remember when Legato...
We're going to talk about someone else on this list, and I'm going to just compare them.
They were never that good. I mean, Zion Quinn was come on, man. He was never that good. They gave him like years of squash matches and like people sat on their hands in the PC where anyone gets over on the PC.
If they ain't give him enough of a stupid gimmick to try. I feel like my thing is I can't even remember the that's like what's wild to me. Like I can't even remember the last I don't remember the last thing he did. And maybe that's an indication on him. It actually for sure is an indication about him. But also I feel like somewhere in the last year and a half, they could have tried. They could have made him a heavy. They could have made him just someone like something. I don't know. Maybe I'm bugging.
No, I'm not rocking with the Zion Quinn.
I just want him. I got to look up some YouTube stuff.
Yeah, I mean his biggest moment was dancing with what's her name? What's her name?
I don't know. Indy?
No, the girl from Stephanie? Legato. Electra. He danced with
Electra.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they could have made him a hot boy. Come on, man.
Oh man. All right. Next up, Xia Li. Listen, man, they had no clue what to do with Xia Li. And, you know, this is of no fault of her own at times. She had the one of the coolest entrances, and then they just had her out there like doing like weapons, like weapon stuff in the intro and shit. And then like mm-hmm. she comes out, and then like she has like this really cool look when she comes out. They had her doing all that stuff, and then like the matches never really like took off. And I think the only time Xia Li really like meant a lot, and is not when she was doing the spooky shit in NXT. It was when she was knocking bitches out. That was cool. Remember when she knocked Becky out?
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. Maybe she could have been a killer.
Yeah.
But they didn't want her to be a killer.
I just think that it was like, I just think that with her and like another talent that we'll talk about, it's just very tough to break through when there are so many, like there's a glut of stars on these shows now. Mm-hmm. And it's like they really honestly might have overhired and overcompensated for that fact with all these people.
My thing with Xia Li is also, I also don't feel, I mean, she was given the Becky thing was pretty good. And I think that's a great utilization of her character. And to be honest with you, if they gave more time to other girls that have different types of feuds, this would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think the mere fact the pecking order of WWE kind of got in her way. It's like, okay, we can't have someone beating everybody now. We don't want to put her in a tag team, even though I guess she could have been in a tag team. It's just a lot going on. Like, I thought she had, I don't know about her gimmick coming out as fucking Sasuke from Naruto, but like, I mean, I saw something there. It actually reminds me a lot of what Shinsuke is doing currently, you know? And maybe that could have been some sort of pairing or some sort of stable or some sort of something there. Not that we're pairing all the Asians together, but apparently, I mean.
I don't know what Shinsuke is doing. But it he always gets like a 1 year push. Like every year he gets a push.
Yeah. So. Something like that. Xia got her. She got her once in a lifetime push at this point.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to love her. Everyone seems to like her. Everyone says she's a hard worker and she was always there. So I'm sure. If she does not end this road, I'm sure she will be back. She might be able to, she might start wrestling Ash by Elegance somewhere.
Next up, this one was actually really shocking, but not shocking for me. Von Wagner, they had him come back. They had him lose his comeback match. Then his manager lost, and he's been off TV for like 2-3 weeks, right? And I was like, well, what's the repackage going to be here? Because it seemed like they were gearing up for Robert Stone to turn on him. And I was like, that's stupid. Like, that would be absolutely idiotic for them to actually break them up. But there's actually nowhere else for these two to go. They've done everything on this brand. And if they don't want to call him up, I don't know what they're going to do with Von Wagner. Like, it seemed to me as like in his short time at NXT, without winning the title, he had been involved with almost every top star there.
Vaughn is who I'm referencing to in terms of like the amount of opportunities someone would get, even if they're not like we ended up loving Vaughn by sheer absurdity of what he was involved in. Like, that's why we love Braun, because when Braun came in, it was like, who is this guy? We love Braun because he's like, I love spaghetti, you know, shit like that. Like, he was given a lot, and he did a lot, and I think he had a very fruitful NXT career, and I think a lot of other people on this list would have loved to have the NXT career he at least had. But it was clear that they never had... If Vince McMahon was there, Vaughn would probably be on the main roster. They actually hinted at him being on the main roster at some point. But no, he's not. Mm-hmm. They just don't have main roster plans for him. And essentially that's like, what can we do with Von Wagner? And I'm sure everyone looked at themselves and looked at each other and looked at Triple H. And then
I can't say that. I really can't say that they didn't try.
They absolutely tried.
Yeah, like I can't. All of these other people, like gender, I can't say they didn't try. In this year, I could say they probably could have tried a lot more with those two. But this is probably the top level of they actually did try everything. You had pictures of him as a baby and all of this shit. I'm like, bro,
zippers on his head. Like,
yeah, like
he got his head got killed by Braun on television.
Bro, and it was a huge storyline. Like, they really tried a lot with him, and I think that it just wasn't working out. And he had been there. Remember, you know, we've said this a lot on this show. They say, like, if you've been there 2 years and you haven't made it up at this point, then they gotta go elsewhere with it. And it's just a shame, because I actually didn't hate Vaughn. I just didn't know what his long term, like, there was so much hype about who his father was, and like everyone in backstage, like, yo, he's gonna be next up. Everyone's like, he's next up. I'm like, I don't know. But you know, it just sucks. I actually did enjoy him, especially when he turned into like the kind of like the badass version of himself, and he was just putting people through tables. Like, that was cool.
They made him the table guy, and I was like, really? All right,
cool. That was fine. I liked
it. It was good. It gave him energy, and people seemed to like it. People love tables, so
yeah,
they would love, I guess, Vaughn for wanting to put people through them.
I liked it.
I'm over here watching Zion quit matches. It's a mixed bag.
I'm so sorry that you have to put yourself to that, because you tried to defend this motherfucker, and I'm like, absolutely not.
Top 15 moves of Zion Quinn.
Talk to Cyrus and Quan about Zion Quinn, and they will legitimately like attempt to strangle you through like electronically for trying to say this.
I'm not trying to defend him, but I feel like they could have been more.
No, he don't got no personality. He just fine. I think that's really what you're looking at. He should honestly just go in the challenge, because
I mean, maybe
I was just telling my wife, like, WWE should go in the challenge. Like, just let some of them people go, like have like a month off, and they should go in the challenge.
Get the Casey Catanzaro girl. She could go on the challenge.
Casey, Grayson Waller, a lot, bro. There's a lot of people that could do this.
Yeah, Zion Quinn was tagging with the guy from the guy who's now in OTM. That's crazy. Look at all this history that we're fucking uncovering now.
And OTM made it further, because he said, you know what, I got a personality and somebody that I really am outside of this, and Zion Quinn doesn't.
He probably didn't fuck with him. He's got to have, like, he's got to be an asshole or a jerk or something. Maybe.
Lastly, as of right now, because
these are rolling.
Yeah, these seem to be rolling from day by day. Cameron Grimes was announced that he was released this morning. And this one hurts, because this is one that I feel like they should have done more, and they should have really tried to get this guy over. I mean, he was a huge deal in NXT. He came to SmackDown. There was a lot of, I was so excited when he got to SmackDown. And I think it was just bad timing. Because it was right in the middle of when the Bloodline stuff was really picking up at the end of the year.
Right.
And I think that when I say that they should have tried, I think that, like, if you saw that he was floundering and that he could have actually done something, you know, worthy, why didn't you just move him to Raw? Why didn't you just put him on Raw? There was a chance to just put Cameron Grimes on Raw. It doesn't even matter. You could just break the rules. Just it could have been during the Jey Uso trade or something like that. Like, you could have just put him on Raw, where he would have had more runway to show what he could do. I think that this is probably the worst of the releases, because I think that he has the potential to go somewhere and actually be a huge star that he could have been in this company.
And he's charismatic. He can wrestle. He's great with the fans. He's like, this is actually, I think, a blunder by WWE to release him.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think this is a mistake. Like, I think that he's a guy that was just not only just seemed like a really good guy, really cool guy, but anytime he was even on SmackDown, there's few times he was on the fucking show, he made it a point to make an impact. And it's just such a shame that it didn't work out. I think that ultimately, like, when you look at something like this, you wish for, you know, some of your favorites or your favorites to get a really good opportunity. And I don't feel like he was given that opportunity. Like, tagging with Dragon Lee is not it. Jobbing to Austin Theory and Grayson Waller back to back is not it. Like, none of that shit was cool. Like, none of that shit was dope to me. And you know, I
thought he was gonna be the rich guy on the show. Yeah. And it just made sense. I mean, yeah. We were like, oh, okay, he's gonna get called up and probably feud with Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. Mm-hmm. Like something along those lines. Like the fact that none of this happened, and like really nothing happened.
Nothing
and happened. It's just he got called up, it was bad timing on the show, but also I feel like there's no excuse to release him.
Yeah. Someone who could offer and provide so much quality, like entertainment and matches and moments for your company. Like, I just think he just never got a chance to do that. There were so many matchups that I wanted to see him do, and all of those guys were busy. you know what I mean?
I think it was also because he was in that first breakout, like literally WWE's first, like the one with
Mello.
It was before that one.
Oh, was it?
He was in the one with old boy who got released because they made the racist shirt.
Oh, Jordan Miles.
Yeah. He was in that one.
Yeah.
And that's like in 2019, maybe even 2020, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd been around for a while, and I think WWE's looking at like, what can we do with him? What can we really contribute with him? And is there anything we can do now? And they're probably like, not really. It's kind of sad. It kind of sucks. I do think there's plenty of potential with him, and I think there's a lot you can do. And it clearly, from fan response, they genuinely liked him. Whether he was there or not, I'm sure after a couple of weeks he would have won. If they'd continue, I don't know. It's just a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. His release is. Goes along with the theme of what I said earlier. It was like these are guys that weren't doing much on TV, and it just seemed like they didn't have anything for them. Cam goes into that, but I think they could have done something with him, and I think that's the big tragedy here. I think that he's a big pickup for any company that picks him up, AEW, Impact, anybody who picks him up. They'll have somebody that can give them some quality. Quality entertainment, so quality matches and a quality character. Those were the releases. That's the bummer news to start the show. Do you think there's going to be more?
Yeah, at this point, yeah. Six releases would be nuts. I'd be like, oh, damn, company's doing awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of awesome, I mean, speaking of these releases, you've been watching a show about people who are potentially
going to be. You said speaking of awesome as if... The show I watch.
Speaking of releases, I thought. Oh. Releases? I think I said speaking.
You said awesome. No, you said speaking of awesome, and I was like,
oh, what? Shit. Well, whoops.
Speaking of releases, for sure. I watched I call it personally the WWE Roku show.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely did in my text. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it, to me, it's still that. And I think there might be another WWE show on Roku, but. It's really the only Roku's interesting, the Roku channel. Like, to be honest with you, I didn't even need a password or a login to watch this entire show. I literally went on the website, it was there. They've got other shows, they've got like Home Improvement, fucking what else they got here? Good Lord, a bunch of other shows that are not as good. But they got a lot of stuff on here. Uncle Buck, oh my god. But with that said, I watched it. My review is the first five episodes could have been one episode. Off rip.
How long is, these are like hour long?
These are essentially, they're like 45 minutes to an hour long episodes.
Okay.
The first five episodes were there. It's all the same tryout at the one weekend.
Yeah.
Where they follow people that are not making the show. That could have been one episode. And it has been on Tough Enough. After you get past that point, the show, once you get to the actual six characters that you're following, the show gets actually, well, not six. It's like maybe eight. The eight characters that you're following that they offer contracts to. Then it gets pretty good. But then it ends in like two episodes after that. with that said, they picked a good group, man. Like HBK... He knows what he's doing. Like, and just in general, they know what they're doing. They when they recorded, so after we reach that cutoff point and we get there, first of all, they have the little fight thing, which is funny. It's two dudes from the same school, kind of egos get in the way of stuff because they're being a little bit competitive in the ring and getting a little bit rough in the ring, and they're like, yo, what the fuck, bro? And then Matt Bloom immediately reprimands them for fighting back. It's like, bro, Tony Khan, you're an idiot. But Matt Bloom immediately reprimands them, sends them home, makes them come back, and essentially says, do you guys want to give up this opportunity that you have in the business? They say no. They make up. We're back on the track. The other girl, there's a, it's showing me all types of things. The Italian guy, his visa didn't come in, so he's unable to participate in the actual training. He got picked, but he's unable to participate because his visa is not coming in. He can't even walk in the building to go to work, kind of vibe. Like, he can't be working because he doesn't have his visa, so he's just not in the second part of the show. He shows up in the last episode to like cheer for the people who are wrestling,
yeah,
but that's pretty much it. Sorry if I'm spoiling the show for you, but honestly,
I'm not gonna watch it. I wouldn't
go out of my way to watch it.
What's the vibe of the show? Like, is it produced well?
It is very clean. If you're going back to how it's like Tough Enough, but not on MTV.
Right.
This is like Tough Enough on maybe like CMT. Like, this is not, there's no really drama. There's no like, man, she's been looking really hot. Like,
CMT, you know, is crazy.
There's no, nothing there. It's literally them going to work and doing really good at their jobs. Like, they nail, essentially, they've impressed everyone literally in the first 10 weeks of them there. They said that this was the fastest learning class that they've ever had. Like, and I believe them because they looked good. They're doing bumps and flips and all the, I mean, essentially they have rehearsed the match. Like, they're doing all the basics. They're not really going out the realm. No one's doing 450s. No one's doing backflips. No one's doing any of that stuff. They're literally doing wrist locks and scoop slams and all the other shit like that. But it seems to get it down really, really well. It's cool to see the backstages of and how WWE, what they consider actual talent, what they consider all these other things. Like, that's what it's cool to see. But as a show itself, it is not. It's good background TV, but not like good, like, oh, I'd watch this every week. No, it's actually not.
Well, I'm glad that you did that so I didn't have to do it. Hey, I did note that they signed one of these white guys that I think looks extremely annoying. I think it's called
Sexy BJ. Yeah.
Yeah. Sexy BJ looks incredibly annoying.
On his evaluation, Shawn Michaels called him a dipshit, but also Shawn Michaels has a like, he has a sweet spot for him because he was also a dipshit. So he's like, he's talented as hell, but you know, don't be a dipshit off camera. You could be a dipshit on camera, but you can't be a dipshit off camera. And I'm like, oh brother, I knew this was going to happen.
I think the thing with NXT is that I feel like, like
they hire a kid who looks like Brie Bosa. Shout out to Brie Bosa.
But I think Deshaun breeds a bunch of hims in NXT. Am I wrong to say that? Like, he breeds a bunch of people that act exactly like he does.
If he sees a part of his career that went through this, like, there's another kid, the kid that looks like Brie Bosa, he's like, he's quiet and respectful. He was like, I was once quiet and respectful when I started. And then, to be honest with you, again, the most impressive wrestlers there were the girls. They got it down really, really well, and their matches look really, really good. The end of it was, the final episode was, we're going to pick two of you to have a match for in front of a live NXT audience. And it was like the pre-show to NXT Heatwave last year, I guess. And they picked a straight cut guy, and the guy was like, he's fine. He was like, he's good, but he's very like vanilla to me. And then they picked the girl, the black girl, whose mom disapproved of her. She didn't tell her mom because she thought her mom would be a hater. And then when she did tell her mom she got signed to WWE, her mom was definitely a hater. her mom was like, she's one of those people who are just like, oh, the she thinks the closer you are to entertainment is the closer you are to sin. But then mom gets there when she has her match and she's losing her mind.
Yeah, she'll fit right in Orlando, Florida.
Right? Is she in one of those she in any of the TikTok videos with the other girls? It's gonna be interesting, but no, I mean it's a good background show. It's good to see how they make WWE superstars. It's clearly this shit is a factory at this point.
A talent factory. Just giving, and then you give your good talent away to fucking other companies. I'm so mad about this Cameron Grime thing. AEW Dynasty happened on Sunday.
Greatest fucking wrestling event that ever existed.
Greatest wrestling show ever. It don't matter about the TV. The TV can suck all day as long as they keep doing this, because it's the greatest wrestling show ever. WrestleMania 40, who?
Bruh. Cody, what? You know who finished the story? Swerve Strickland.
Yeah, bruh. He finished the story. How dare you?
He did it for us.
Yeah. There you go.
Woo. Wait, did you watch the... We gotta do the... Well, first of all, Swerve wins the AEW World Championship.
Good for him.
To me, this is like... This is something I'd expect in NXT. But, like, not in an actual full-blown company where shit is actually, like, on the line and there's actual stakes. Because I don't think his career and his narrative was ready to win the AEW World Championship yet. And in fact, I think he's going to come out on the worst side. People are going to start complaining and groaning and moaning when his championship reign isn't as fucking flashy and fire as it is. But he won the AEW World Championship. He beat Samoa Joe. Who has not beaten Samoa Joe at this point for a championship?
I think I beat Samoa Joe for the championship.
Hey, man, listen, a lot of times, but shout out to them. The greatest wrestling match that ever existed, though, happened on this show. In the U.S.
In America, ever.
Because if it didn't happen in the Tokyo Dome, did it really happen? Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay.
People wanted to love this match. And don't get me wrong, it's a great match. I think it's in the running for match of the year for me.
I agree. It is a great match.
It's a great match. But I think that, like, we get it, y'all. We get it.
So, Meltzer and Alvarez said that this was the greatest match that ever happened on U.S.-based soil. So we put out a tweet on the A Show Twitter. Shout out to the A Show RNC on Twitter. Make sure you guys follow. It said, name a U.S.-based wrestling match better than Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson at AEW Dynasty, and we'll determine if it's better on this week's show. And sir, there were a lot of matches that people put up here. We're going to go through a couple of these, and we're going to determine.
Yes, we have some special guests to chime in, too. Shout out to Matthew from Botchamania, even.
Hey, man, listen.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hold on, before we do that, what do you think about the pay-per-view in general? For real, for realsies.
Good Lord, what happened on the first half? I don't remember anything that happened before the greatest match ever.
the Jay White finally fulfilled his destiny on the pre-show. Hey, man.
Guns up, I guess.
If there was able to have like a trade for like talent, I would accept the Jay White for Cam Grimes trade. I would accept that. They're both in the same spots, pretty much. I think relative to what Cam was doing is relative in AEW and equal to what Jay White's doing, which is nothing. Ultimately,
I'll go through this card very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Okada versus Pac was good, but I don't remember anything about it.
I don't remember shit about it.
House of Black versus Adam Copeland was good because of the end. House of Black win. Where does this lead for Malakai Black and Adam Copeland? Hopefully a singles match, because that actually makes sense.
It would probably lead to him turning heel, because that seems to be the next
thing. That's true. Yes, that's the Black Mist. The lore of the Black Mist is that. Mm-hmm. So Adam Copeland, he's going to repurpose that fucking Judgment Day suit. I'm telling you.
Oh, of course he is, because you know what? I don't think that it wasn't his idea. I've never thought that it wasn't his idea, and no matter how much he tells us this, he's one of the greatest liars and grifters of all time.
Oh, come on, man. Don't do that to Adam Copeland. It's my guy still, kind of. Yeah. Okay. Well, Willow Nightingale defeated Julia Hart.
One of these strange... Can I go to my soapbox about this?
Yeah, it was 6 minutes, by the way.
It was basically a reverse squash, okay? There, okay. From the moment that it started, there's been rumors that Julia Hart's injured, I believe, that coming into this, she was hurt.
Okay.
So, in the beginning of this match, Willow, who is at least, if not double the size of Julia Hart, but definitely bigger than her.
Yes.
Was bumping around like a fool for Julia Hart, who, from what I understand, does she have like mystical powers that have not been explained to me on this TV show?
Julia Hart does have mystical powers.
Yes. Like of strength, of superhuman strength?
Oh, no, not of superhuman strength.
Like, I understand she can appear and disappear, but she wasn't doing none of that. So, like...
No.
There was like I think that in situations like this, like it's either you have Willow just beat her in 3 minutes, but don't go through and like try like Julia didn't need to look strong, because Willow still needs to look strong for Mercedes. That's ultimately my issue. So you had Willow get beat up for 5 minutes, five minutes and 20 seconds. She was getting beat up. She was getting tossed over the announce table. She was getting fucking
she was getting tossed over the announce table.
Oh, she was getting beat the fuck up the whole match. I'm like, what am I watching? Like the psychology was just all off, and I would say that it was the same for the Toni Storm match, which I thought was better than this, but still was just confusing in the way that it was set up and developed, because Willow to me should just kind of be like Vader, right? Like she should just be like beating these chicks up, and Julia was taking it to where she wasn't working the arm, wasn't working the leg, the knee, nothing. She's just beating the shit out of her, and then out of nowhere, Willow counters the moonsault, which looked terrible. Hit her with a lariat, hit her with powerbomb, was over. And I was like, so what was the house rules were that nobody was supposed to be there, but it was like that wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Yeah, it didn't really seem to matter at all. And then Mercedes comes out in a prom dress and starts dancing and grinding her way to the ring and said, look at me, double or nothing. They asked Tony Khan at the press scrum afterwards, because they ask if Mercedes is cleared to wrestle, to which he said she will be cleared to wrestle at Double or Nothing.
Signed her and she wasn't cleared. That's all I heard. You signed her when she was injured.
Is hey, all I heard. Highest paid woman, man. Listen, it's not easy to get one over on this guy.
No. I didn't like this match at all. I thought it was a weak way to give her the title. It didn't even feel like a moment when it happened, because Mercedes immediately came out and kind of poured water all over. You could have just had her in the back.
Had her get involved in the match. Like, I mean, granted, I guess she's not cleared, but
She still could have been involved, because she still could have just been like doing. Oh God, you don't want to do commentary again. I don't know.
No, I wouldn't have gotten. I wouldn't have done commentary. There would have been a ref bump. Sky Blue would have came out. Mercedes would have eventually came out to kind of like even the odds. Maybe they do a false finish where she accidentally hits Willow or something, but Willow kind of bounces back afterwards. She still kicks out of whatever it is afterwards, and then she wins the match. And it's like, one, you show that she can take what Mercedes can bring to her, but also she's a like strong champion in that fact, that she can overcome all of this. And then also you show that like...
Can not run? Like she could run the ring and like grab Sky Blue's legs and like take her off to the apron or something like that.
Something like that.
It's either you do that, or like I said earlier, have her be, and I'm sorry I'm harping on this so much, but I just feel like this is like indicative of every of the problems that I have with this company sometimes.
It's like a simple thing that's just like so fucking
it's so hard for them to get. Like, why did Julia need to listen? She is no longer the focus of this title anymore. They've gotten everything out of it. Have her get beat. It's not going to hurt her. She's still in a stable where she can, you know, they have, you know, smoke and mirrors, and she didn't have help anyway. You could still, but it proves that Willow is who she says she is. And now she's going to go on to Double or Nothing and get beat. I mean, she looked weak in this match. She's going to look weaker in that match. So it is what it is.
Strong versus Riley. Yeah, I don't. Great.
I didn't watch that.
Great gowns.
Jericho and Hook, I ain't watched that shit either. I saw the end, and I mean,
he's Hook, telling a story. He's telling a story.
Hook, hey, buddy.
Why do Chris Jericho need to win the FTW championship?
Just think it so his Wikipedia would look cool.
This is he won the ROH championship last year too. Like, why did he need to win this?
Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa. I think the result was never in doubt, but this one also had an issue with because Thunder Rosa just stopped selling the back. She just stopped selling the back and then loses to a pile driver.
Hey, man. I don't know what we're heading to with Tony Storm, but apparently it's not Mercedes.
It's Britt Baker for sure. It's Britt Baker.
Okay. Double or Nothing must be like their fucking. Is that like their? It's not their WrestleMania, but it's got to be like their.
It's like SummerSlam.
Yeah, gotta be.
Ospreay and Danielson. Listen, I like this match a lot.
Yes.
I won't go 5 on it.
Okay.
I think that both guys, I think Dom made this point, and I agree. Both guys, to me, had better matches with Kenny Omega.
Mm.
Both of them did. Both of them did. How did you feel
about the final spot?
I didn't like it. And if Brian got legit hurt on that spot, which it looks like, I feel like he did because his shoulder was definitely out of the socket, unless he could just make it pop out at will.
Apparently, they're hinting that it's a work.
Okay, well, it's still stupid because you keep doing it.
Yeah. you can't keep faking this man's near-death experience all over.
Yeah, even if it's a shoot, it's stupid. If it's a work, it's stupid. So what dunk is there for that? Like, it's stupid. I thought it was good. I'm sorry, I thought it was great. I didn't think it was perfect. I think that what gets me about it is that they're, other than the fact that these two are the greatest of all time of the past decade and the other guy could be the greatest of all time of this decade, it's not a good enough story for me because with Will and Kenny, it was like, there was the back and forth between those two. And then with Kenny and Brian, it was like first time ever. Like, you know, I feel like this was in the same sense kind of what that Kenny and Brian match was, but to a lesser extent because Kenny had that resume going in. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about Mostert stars. I'm talking about everything that he did going into it that I feel like Ospreay did after, but was never really as big as what it was for Kenny in 2016. You know what I'm saying? I think that like what they did here was great, and but I'm gonna be real. I feel like this was a match that Ospreay could have lost. I think he should have lost this match.
Interesting. Why do you say so?
So they could do this again.
And have
a better match. You could have had him lose here, because the story right now, Meals, and I hate to be getting into like too AEW coded. This is very war report. I'm sorry, guys, but the key here, right? And shit, Cyrus Kwan, let me know if this is, you know, if this makes sense. But the key here is that you're trying to keep the title off of Ospreay until August. He can't just keep winning because you're not gonna have a. It's not gonna make sense. Have this be the one loss that he has, the one demon that he has. That makes him doubt himself, and then have him build it back up to All In, and then have Brian win the title, and then do it for the title in Wembley. And then if you want to get that horny about it, the week after, you can say Okada versus Ospreay at the other show that he did.
All out.
Yeah. That's a 1-2 punch that I think everyone would tune in for.
That's a 1+1=2. That's some CM Punk collision booking. Not this one, whatever the fuck they're booking here.
Anyway, ladder match. I ain't watched that shit. Good for Jack Perry. How is this guy who got beat up getting cheered? Is that the type of personality that the AEW fans breed? Is that you get beat up and you're cooler for that?
They like when people show up surprised. This is clearly, they like when they don't know what's going to happen. Or they know what's going to happen and it happens. Then they feel smarter for it.
Mm-hmm.
I literally didn't watch anything after the Brian and Ospreay match.
Yeah, I'm turning my back.
I would have left if I was at that show immediately after that match. I'm like, all right, we good.
Turning my back. Shit. I think it says a lot that there's a lot of black people that's not fucking with it. and I look at the people who are black and fucking with it. But let me just be clear for people who don't know. Swerve disrespected some people that I respect, and I don't, like, regardless of if these people, you know, are like cool with it or whatever, like, I don't bang with that because of the way he did it, in the public way he did it. And this is videos that you can actually go back and go see. I think they, these people spent their time to create something very cool for the black community within the wrestling industry. We don't have a lot of representation. We don't have a lot of eyes on our stuff. And he went on there and shit on it. Then he doubled down on it, and then he never apologized for it. You know, your mileage may vary on if you care about the verse that he put out or the line that he put out in that Instagram story, whatever, whatever. That happened too about black women. There's, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a fucking duck. He is what he is. He's a fuck nigga, and I'll never support him. And that's just what it is. It's always gonna be smoke.
I will say, I guess I'm disappointed definitely in him. I'm disappointed in the people who also have used this opportunity for not understanding why people wouldn't support him, especially the people, especially black wrestling who are involved, of why they wouldn't support him, and then calling them corny and fucking clout chasers and all this other stuff like that. I'm more disappointed in that, especially if you know, like, these people have done more work than, like I said, the 10,000 hours that we've done in spades. And whether people get invited to scrums or have great Twitter accounts with all their engagement about all fire matches and stuff like that, these are people who, like us, are actually doing the work and uplifting the community and building a community and not just typing stuff to make it seem cool. So I'm disappointed in pretty much Swerve. One, he hasn't apologized. He hasn't anything. He hasn't done anything. And then all the other people, not necessarily people who support him, because I don't really, if you support him, that's on you. That's cool. It's whatever it is, what it is. But the people who shit on the stuff that people who are actually trying to uplift the community are actually doing and try to write it off. So I still want to do this exercise because we did tweet it out.
Let's do it.
Name U.S. based match better than Will Ospreay, Brian Danielson, and AEW Dynasty. Shout out to Ugly New York Rob. He says Kenny Omega versus Brian Danielson.
I would take that one. I would take that one. I think it's better.
You can say, Liz, we'll do better or worse.
Okay.
We'll do a quick speed round because we're going long on the free show. Jeff J, AJ Styles versus John Cena, Royal Rumble.
Did I get that one a five? Did we get that one a five?
I think we gave it a five, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm not giving this one a five, then yeah, it's better. Yeah.
Yeah. Cyrus says Takeshi Morishima versus Brian Danielson.
Yes.
Matthew Gregg from Forever Botchamania says El Torito versus Hornswoggle. WLC.
Yes. Better.
Dwayne Nix says Taker versus HBK at WrestleMania 25 and 26, and Bret Hart versus Stone Cold at WrestleMania 13.
Bret Hart versus Stone Cold, yes. The other two, no.
Ooh, okay. Botchasaurus says Bret versus Piper, WrestleMania 8. I haven't seen that one in a while. But I remember how fluid it is. It's actually a completely different match. I'm not sure if I can compare it.
Yeah, nah. I won't say no. I'll say no.
I'm going to say no. Clone Kid says Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero, Halloween Havoc 97. I think yes.
Yes.
That's better. It's also more culturally significant.
Also didn't have a story. Didn't have a story, but it was just a better match.
Yeah. Joe Mantana's right arm says any of the Flair Steamboat trilogy, including Wrestle War.
That's so easy. Yeah. That's just such an easy thing to compare. Here's my thing, okay, with the Flair Steamboat shit, right? Not my era, bro. I'm gonna just be real. So I'm gonna say no.
I've seen some of it, but like also, yeah, it's not my era. But it's great. Yeah. They're great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna choose one from this. John D says Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole, 2 out of 3 falls, NXT Championship, NXT Takeover New York.
Absolutely not.
No, that was kick out fucking a mania.
Yeah.
Ospreay versus Omega, Forbidden Door last year.
Not a Forbidden Door. If you would have said Wrestle Kingdom, I would have said yes. But I'll say no here. No, it's not better.
DMV says Fatal 4-Way Universal Championship at SummerSlam. Roman, Brock, Braun, Joe. I'm going to say no.
Sorry.
Monty Diavanzo says Samoa Joe versus CM Punk 3 in ROH.
That's the one that's not a time limit draw. I thought the time limit draw was one of my favorite matches of all time.
Yeah.
This one had an ending. I'll say no. I'll say no, but I really love that match.
Double Foot Stomp says Kevin Steen versus El Generico fight without honor.
Yes.
Yes, it's better.
Yeah, it's better. Story, bro. It's the story of that.
Wait, you know what I'm saying? Yes, this match is better than that one.
It's better than that. Yeah, it's better than Ospreay Danielson.
Okay. Same. The Vape Ent says Zayn versus Knoxville at WrestleMania 38.
No, come on, man.
Antonio Salgado, shout out to my guy, says John Cena versus CM Punk, Money in the Bank 2011. I'm actually going to say no. I think this match was better than that one. But it's a lot. There's a big environment involved, which I get. But
the Raw match was better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. MJF versus Bryan Danielson, 60-minute Iron Man match by Clint.
What do you say?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'll say no too.
All right. Hold on. We got a couple more. We actually got a lot of responses from that. Kaz says Brett versus Austin. We already went through that. That's like the standard. Like, it just is what it is. It's the greatest match. Flo says the greatest wrestling match ever, Edge versus Randy Orton at Backlash 2020.
No.
The Flair S says, shout to Tony Childs, says Seth versus Brock versus Cena, Royal Rumble 2015.
Great match, but no.
Dom didn't name a match, but he's got photos. But he definitely says Ricky Steamboat versus Austin, and I'm thinking this is at, I don't know these WCW pay-per-views.
Yeah, I remember that one. No.
Wow, Black Eye Wrestling Pod said Hart versus Austin at Survivor Series 1996. I'm going to say no, but it was a pretty good match.
It's a great match, yeah.
Ooh, wait, hold on. This is a nice one. Dave uses this. Shout out to Dave. It says Stone Cold versus Kurt Angle at SummerSlam 2001.
Sleeper.
The end of the match was some bullshit, though.
Yeah, sleeper, though. I'm going to say no, but it definitely deserves more love. It definitely deserves more love.
I'm going to end this with Kenny Brophy, our guy. He says both Roman versus Cody's.
The thing about Roman and Cody is that you have to look at those matches in totality as a story, so which kind of hinders it a bit. I'm of the fashion that the second match is my favorite match of the year right now. So yes, I'm going to say it's better.
Right.
But let's see how it ages. I think that like. There is not like people. I feel like people are manufacturing what type of feeling that gives you, and there's nothing wrong with having that feeling twice in one year. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But like, I think that my feeling for that match is the culmination. My feeling for this match is like these are two wrestlers that are just going out to wrestle, and I'm like, that's cool. That's cool for me, but that's not exactly what I look for, in my wrestling all the time. So I'll say the second one, yes, but the first one is very tough to judge. Because we have the ending and the totality of that story. Like, I feel like part one for Roman and Cody is like half of the story. So
we're running along on the free show.
Yes, we are.
So the WWE draft thing, here's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. We'll give two picks and maybe we'll continue it on the Patreon. I hate to be that person, but this is what we do. What I would like to do is because I think the draft is more so it's less about who's gonna be on, because most people gonna get drafted to the same fucking show. I want you to name two people who should move shows, and then one person who you think should be from NXT, and we may continue the conversation on the Patreon.
Two people who should move shows. Gunther should move to SmackDown.
Ooh, okay. Why do you say that?
He's done everything on Raw.
He beat everyone on SmackDown too. Low key.
Well, no, I mean, they're, I mean, it's gonna get shit.
That's true. It's a different. He's not Intercontinental Champion anymore.
Yeah, he can face everybody now. And also it's Cody World on SmackDown. I think it's time for him to be in that world. And I think that
pick a woman.
Pick a woman.
Yeah.
Should Nia Jax go to NXT?
Nia Jax should go to NXT. Whoa. What makes you say that?
She gets a shot at that title.
That's true.
There's a beast that everyone will have to defeat on that show.
Listen, she got dance partner on SmackDown. She won't go to SmackDown. You know what I'm saying?
It could happen, but I think Nia Jax on NXT is really exciting to me. I think that again, you have a lot of women there, and you have no big women there. And I like other than like the what immediately pops out to me, and I don't mean like big in like stature, like tall. Super tall women, but I like the thing that pops out to me is giving Lash Legend somebody that she can actually get a huge marquee win against. Lash versus Nia to me is something that like going forward would be really dope to see.
Oh, okay. I see it. I see a Baron Corbin vibe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick, if I had to move someone, I think, good Lord. Move. I'm gonna regret that. No, do I want to do this? I'm already gonna regret this. Move Bobby Lashley and his group to Raw. Just SmackDown. There's no time to develop. There's no time to do anything. The Bloodline is on SmackDown. You're not ever beating the Bloodline. You're not even getting close to the Bloodline. Move them to Raw. Have them do or recapture whatever feeling is on Raw. That includes Street
Profits. Here's what's gonna happen. Well, we'll talk about it on the Patreon. I'm gonna show you why this is flawed. But thank you guys for listening.
Hold on. I got a woman.
Okay.
I would move. I low key want to move Bianca back to Raw. I think I'm going to go. Yeah. Let's move Bianca to Raw.
Well, I mean, it makes sense with your previous, previous move of the Pride to.
I guess. Yeah. Black people to Raw. There's no black people on Raw. if you had to draft someone from NXT to call up to the main roster, who would it be?
Easy. Ilya Dragunov.
I mean, all right. He's definitely. Pick someone who hasn't already announced that he's moving up.
Who hasn't announced it right now?
Yeah. Who you'd be like, okay, I could see them on the main roster.
Who hasn't announced it? Honestly, Chase Yu. Yeah.
It's time to either chase or get off the pot at this point. Yeah.
it's just time. It's time for it. They gotta go.
Do you feel like because they're at definitely a crossroads where they could either be like, we don't have anything from on the main roster, it's time to go. Or do you feel like Chase Yu should definitely be on a main roster kind of thing?
I think it's time to sink or swim. I think that like they are good characters. The gimmick has subsided. There's so many chances. They had so many chances, Mills, to break up this team and break up this gimmick, and they never did it. So like if that's the case, just let them see if it works on the big, you know, the big time. I think it could work. I think Andre Trace is a serviceable worker that does really well in like kind of big match environments, like where they're about to win or where it's like the multi-man tag matches that they do and stuff like that. He's proven that he can do that, but they're just a great mid-card act. And I think that in the sense or in the possibility that we may not have the Alpha Academy anymore, then they could just slide right into that position.
Okay. I see it. If I had to pick someone from NXT to move up, I'm going to go. Oof. There's a lot here. I miss Wendy Chu.
Is she?
I have no idea. But
the knee injury should only be a year, right?
It must be complications. If it goes longer than what it's supposed to, I'm assuming it's complications. I don't want to waste this on a whack one.
Okay, so literally, back in...
It might have to be Blair Davenport, to be honest with you.
It's time. Mm-hmm. It's time.
Yeah.
But yeah, but Sean said almost a year ago, Meals, June 30th, or not June 30th. It was like June. It was like, when was it? Why is that? This is a terrible website. July 27th, 2023. Her injury, her return is still a ways off. This is almost a year ago.
That's let me see, what's she doing on the gram? How about that?
She's been off TV since March 2023, and then the injury was said as not too serious, according to Alvarez.
Let me see what she's doing on the gram.
I'm concerned.
I'm concerned too. Yeah, she hasn't posted in 10 weeks. She looks like she's having a great time on the gram.
It looks like Robert Stone's a producer now, also.
They love that guy. You know what? Good.
Yeah, and there's no plans for a creative for him following Von Wagner's release. So he's soft launched off the timeline here.
You know what? Good. Because I didn't get it, but they did. So shout out to them. Okay, that's going to be it for the free show.
Yep. We'll see you guys on the other side for patrons. And next week, we'll be doing a prediction show.
Backlash. Yeah, it's Backlash.
For Backlash. So tune into us then, and we'll see you guys next week on the A Show. For Meals, I'm Justin. See you next week. Peace.